This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Support for the Memory Palace comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is an all-in-one management software with apps for every business need. Odoo has apps for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. And they're all in one easy-to-use software. And the best part about Odoo? All Odoo apps are integrated, helping you get things done faster and more efficiently. So when you think about business, think Odoo. To learn more, visit odoo.com/memory. That's odoo.com/memory.
This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMeo. This episode was recorded on April 2nd, 2020, in my home in Los Angeles while sheltering in place per the order of state and local officials. I mention that for the benefit of those listening to this in the future, whether that is decades from now somehow, or merely next week, when things may very well be very different than they are right now. As of this date, the Centers for Disease Control recommend that everyone wash their hands frequently and do so for at least 20 seconds. What follows are 20 stories, each 20 seconds long, to assist you in that task. 1. In Chicago, in the teens, in the nightclubs, when there was nothing sexier, nothing that said more about status and power, about the thrill of being alive right then and there than the automobile, the dancers and the call girls dabbed a new perfume behind their ears and the napes of their necks. Straight gasoline. Two. The poet was sure he was dying, a heart attack, and then several strokes. In staring oblivion in the face, he had to confess. So William Carlos Williams told his wife everything, about the affairs, about how he had done her so wrong so often, confessed all of it, and then he lived for another 14 years. Three. The Civil War came to Wilmer McLean's house, when Union soldiers came and took over his kitchen before the Battle of Bull Run at the beginning of the war and he was forced to move. He found a lovely new home in Appomattox, Virginia, where 5 years later, soldiers came and kicked him out of that house so Lee could surrender to Grant in his living room. Four. When Roger Payne heard this, the first recording of the song of a humpback whale, he was sure it was the thing that would save them. If only the world could hear these creatures, it would stop the slaughter that had put most whale species to the brink of extinction. He released an album of whale songs, which directly inspired the Save the Whales movement. A decade later, the International Whaling Commission banned deep water whaling. Five. If the first film version of Titanic, released just a month after the sinking, weren't lost, we could see Dorothy Gibson in the same white dress and same white cardigan she wore on the night the ship struck an iceberg and she was put into a lifeboat. But we couldn't know how it felt to be in those same clothes, pretending to be in that same lifeboat, watching the Titanic sink below the cold waves. Six. There used to be three-legged races at every track meet. Think of the skill, the intimacy, the rhythmic genius of two sprinters as they set the still unbroken world record in April 1909 of jointly running 100 yards in the time between the closing bell and right now. Seven. After Lincoln was killed, and his successor was impeached, and North and South had shifted their conflicts to Congress, no one in government had an appetite for a powerful executive, and the presidency was pointedly diminished. The staff budget was cut, so much and so often that if you rang the front doorbell at the White House during the presidency of Grover Cleveland, the man himself would often have to get up from his desk and go downstairs to open the door. Eight. A friend of mine once found a customs form from 1845, which provides all we know of this story. An American sailor named James Sterling died of unknown causes while at sea. When his ship arrived in Brazil, the colonial government refused to bury him. So he arrived home after months and months at sea, spent floating in a barrel of rum. 9. In 1959, Nikita Khrushchev fell in love with Pepsi-Cola, which started a decades-long illicit affair between the elites of the Soviet state and, sorry to editorialize here, the worst soda. In the 80s, the USSR wanted Pepsi. Trade restrictions meant that they couldn't pay cash. So they gave PepsiCo $3 billion worth of decommissioned military equipment, which the company then sold off to scrap metal companies. But until they did, Pepsi had the sixth largest military in the world. 10. The red of the redcoats that projected British power as they patrolled the cobblestone streets of the American colonies, that Washington's men could see dotting the snow, row after row as they marched to the battlefields of Trenton, came from dye made by the subjects of another colonial power, Mexican tinteros in the desert sun, crushing the insects that live on the nopal cactus for the profit of their Spanish masters. 11. The room was too small, and so many of the women had to sit on the floor. 2 days after her husband's first presidential inauguration, Eleanor Roosevelt called the first of what would be 348 press conferences, open only to female writers. It was the height of the Depression, newspapers were cutting staffs, and often the first reporters to go were women. So the First Lady gave them exclusive access to information to help keep them employed. 12. In the 1920s, before radio was dominated by major broadcasters and big corporations, there were smaller players with their own visions of what radio should be.
This program is designed to try to help you with your dental problems in the home, to give you such advice and assistance, such information, as we will believe will be conducive to better teeth and better health.
13. In Oregon, during the Great Depression, destitute men having wandered west for work and finding none waiting, set forest fires in the desperate hope that they would be paid to help put them out. 14. More than a year after Lewis and Clark set out from St. Louis, having lost men, having navigated treacherous falls, having nearly starved to death in the snow, they reached the end of the Missouri River, stared up at a wall of mountains, and knew they had failed. There was no Northwest Passage. They abandoned their boats and set out toward the mountains. 15. In July of 1960, in a marsh beside Cape Canaveral, as the nation's first weather satellite, launched not long before, circled unseen somewhere above, two naturalists made this recording of a dusky seaside sparrow. This species went extinct in 1980. 16. Having lost the race to launch a satellite into space, the United States wanted to demonstrate to the world just what they were capable of. So they launched a plan that would send a rocket to the moon armed with a nuclear warhead, the explosion of which would be bright enough to be visible from Earth with the naked eye. They spent a year working on it before scrapping the idea, afraid that it was a bad look for America. and could cause problems for the moon colonists they were sure would be living there by the 1970s. In 1786, hopped up on the whole defeating the British and starting their own country thing, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams are in England, taking meetings and just basically feeling themselves, and one day they're given a formal tour of Shakespeare's house at Stratford-upon-Avon. And those two jackasses are goofing around like teenage bros on a field trip. And while their guide isn't looking, Adams chips off a piece of Shakespeare's chair for a souvenir. 18. It took nearly 100 years until one of his fellow magicians figured out how David Devent did his greatest trick. So can we at least hold the wonder for the seconds we have left? Of a magician on a darkened stage holding a candle, a beautiful woman dressed as a moth with flowing wings entering as if drawn to him, drawn to the flame, and embracing him, enfolding him in her silken wings, and vanishing. He had given the parrot to his wife, Rachel, as a present, a companion in her illness. And when she died, Andrew Jackson kept the parrot, taught him to swear like a sailor. He thought it was funny. And when Jackson died, having outlived his wife but not her parrot, the president's funeral was stopped when a cursing parrot had to be escorted from the chapel. 30 million people lost power on the eastern seaboard of the United States on November 9, 1965. More than 800,000 New Yorkers learned this when their subway cars went dark, screeched to a halt in pitch-black tunnels. Untold thousands walked home to the boroughs, to New Jersey, over Manhattan's five bridges as night fell. And who knows how many people looked up at who knows how many stars, visible for the first time that night and who knows how long. This episode of The Memory Palace was written and produced by me, Nate DeMeo, with engineering assistance from Elizabeth Aubert. The show gets research assistance from Eliza McGraw. The Memory Palace is a proud, proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collective of independently owned and operated podcasts, kept strong by our mutual support and from financial support of listeners like you. I have a couple of recommendations for you that might help you through these strange days. First, there is a new season of one of my favorite shows. It is called This Is Love, the perfect side project from Phoebe and Lauren from the show Criminal. It is a show with stories about love in all its forms. This season, I feel like just in time, is all about animals, and you're going to love it. Go to radiotopia.fm to learn more about it and all the other Radiotopia shows. And one more thing, I'm excited to tell you that I have just released a new podcast with my friend Karina Longworth of the show You Must Remember This. It is a movie club for the stuck at home. It's called It's the Pictures That Got Small, and each week, for as long as it feels right, we are going to be reaching out from our respective shelters to a friend, and we'll watch one of those big screen classics we've never found the time to see, and watch it now that we have nothing but time. The first episode is up now. Karina and I are joined by Rian Johnson, the writer-director of Knives Out, and The Last Jedi, and Brick, and Looper, and The Brothers Bloom, talking about the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. Play some trivia games, and we recommend some movies that you might want to watch as you wait this whole thing out. We are also going to be raising money to support independent theaters and movie societies during this very difficult time for them. Again, it is called It's the Pictures That Got Small. You can search for it and subscribe and rate and review in all the regular places you find podcasts. Or you can go to smallpictureshow.com. As always, there will be a new Memory Palace in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, please be well, please be safe, and take care of each other. I promise I'll do the same. Talk to you again.
Radiotopia.